the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, has told an event at the Conservative Party conference that Westminster may soon have to set a budget for Northern Ireland. He told those attending the event the move is coming down the track quite rapidly. The DUP leader, Arlene Foster, and Sinn Féin's Stormont leader, Michelle O'Neill, were attending the Champ Ulster Fry breakfast. It's a regular fringe event held at both the Labour and Conservative conferences. BBC Northern Ireland's political editor Mark Devenport was at the event. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Just before I get into some of the other details about the event, I'm noticing here on Arlene Foster's Twitter feed, the DUP leader Twitter feed, in other words, 46 minutes ago, she tweeted the following: making solid progress in talks with Sinn Féin. Differences remain. Any agreement must command support of unionists and nationalists alike. So the days are gone of the crocodile comments. The days are gone of there'll never be an Irish Language Act, all these nevers. Making solid progress, she says.
Yes, and that will carry on from, I think, some optimistic briefings that we had last week about the state of the talks between Sinn Féin and the DUP. And both Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill were saying that a deal was entirely possible. There's that comment there about solid progress. Not a lot in terms of the detail, but I should say that a bit of that optimism actually was dispelled during the event that I've just come out of, because as soon as they left their scripts and went on to a question and answer session, which was conducted by Channel 4 News' Gary Gibbon, things didn't seem really quite so harmonious between them, particularly in relation to the deadlock issue of the Irish Language Act, which, of course, Sinn Féin wants a standalone act, and up until now the DUP has just been talking about an umbrella act. In relation to that, Gary Gibbon put it to Michelle O'Neill that if she had a lot of Irish language signs around Northern Ireland, it would be making Northern Ireland look a lot less British. She came back on him, repeated twice, but the North isn't British. The North isn't British. And then shortly after that, Arlene Foster said, well, I don't want to turn this event into a row, but Northern Ireland is British. That's what the principle of consent is all about. And I could see in the room a little bit of that optimism draining away. Indeed, the DUP MP Ian Paisley was tweeting from the event, and he paraphrased Michelle O'Neill's comment and then said something along the lines of hope draining away here.
So what is your reading of this then? In the pre-prepared tweet, it's optimistic. And then in the exchange, when they come off script, as you say, Mark, it's less so. So what does that mean? Where's it actually at then?
Well, I think things are still pretty fragile, to be honest. If they can't harmoniously sort of sing off the same hymn sheet as soon as they get into questions and answers. Now, we do know that, of course, one's an Irish Republican, one's a Democratic Unionist. They hold different views, but there are ways of finessing these things in a way which they didn't in that question and answer session. And that fundamental disagreement then carried on into other issues. For instance, Michelle O'Neill stuck, as you might expect her to Sinn Féin's line that Northern Ireland should remain within the EU, be given special status within the EU. And Arlene Foster was saying the referendum question was posed to the people of the UK as a nation, and they will leave as a nation, and we will not be in the customs union, we won't be in the single market. So that's just another illustration of that kind of fracture line running in between them. So if they do end up with a piece of paper that they both decide that they can sign up to in the next few days, they will have to carefully manage this, because they are still pulling in different directions.
Mark, I heard from one source last week. Obviously, one of the fundamental chasms here is the Sinn Féin's demand for a standalone Irish Language Act. They're saying that's a red line. Gerry Adams has made it very clear there will not be a government in Northern Ireland if there is no standalone Irish Language Act. And Arlene Foster, from those days many months ago where she was saying there will never be an Irish Language Act under her watch, the language has now changed to, well, you know, one culture cannot have dominance over the other. Here's my point. I heard from a source last week that one of the things that they are considering in the talks is that there would indeed be a standalone Irish Language Act, and how the DUP would get that through, given what they've said, is that there would be also a standalone Ulster Scots Act, and that what they would do is they would say, well, they're standalone, but each could present it to their people as a win, because none of the standalone acts would be effective unless both were happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that what you're hearing too?
Yeah. Well,
so they're standalone and they're not standalone, only in Northern Ireland.
Standalone but stand together, yeah. Quite often, the best way to try and work out where they might possibly get a compromise between the DUP and Sinn Féin positions is to look at the Alliance position, because logically it tends to fall in between those two stools. And just the other week, Alliance actually presented a three-piece suite of acts which would have involved an Irish Language Act, one which was more dealing with Ulster, Scots and English, and another which would be affirming the importance of all sorts of cultures in Northern Ireland, including languages of groups like the Polish, you know, who've come to Northern Ireland more recently. And part of that, when I was talking to a senior Alliance source about that, is that it will be tied in that if one of these acts didn't proceed through the Assembly, then none of them would.
So, but the public aren't stupid. Even if that is presented as three different standalone acts or two different standalone acts, if they're dependent on each other, they're not standalone.
Yes, so they're a sort of stand-together act. And when you look back to the red line that Arlene Foster drew for herself at the start of the Assembly election campaign in the spring, she was asked not if she'd have a standalone act or a stand-together act or a hybrid act or any of these things, but would she have an Irish language act? And she said no, and that's when she went into the crocodile thing. So here's the problem that people have painted themselves into corners. Any sort of parliamentary draftsman would tell you that probably the least important thing about any bill is what its title is, but it's more what it actually does. But because of the corners that the politicians have painted themselves into, it's hard for them to overcome this. And then I come back to that phrase, which may have just been a throwaway phrase from Michelle O'Neill about Northern Ireland not being British, which I mentioned at the start. But whatever compromise they come up with, say it's three acts all tied together or two acts tied together or whatever, it's a little bit more hard to sell if Michelle O'Neill makes a comment which then the likes of Jim Allister can seize upon and say, look, this is an attempt to dial you Northern Ireland's Britishness.
It's funny you mentioned Mr. Allister, because he's waiting for the next item. Let's see what he does have to say about it. Good morning, Jim.
And I didn't know that.
No, I know you didn't know. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Well, I think the Sinn Féin mask slipped again today. I've often said, and I know you get tired of me saying it, that Sinn Féin has never been in government to make Northern Ireland work. Well, when you have the leader of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland saying Northern Ireland isn't even British and therefore repudiating the whole consent principle...
That's no surprise to you that she doesn't consider Northern Ireland British. That is no surprise to you.
Sorry, it is. They're allegedly signed up to the consent principle. They're allegedly signed up to even the Belfast Agreement, which acknowledges the constitutional position of Northern Ireland. And then you have Sinn Féin saying, well, never mind any of that. Even though that's what in paper we're signed up to, we don't accept that Northern Ireland is British. And then you're surprised that I say they've never been in Stormont to make Northern Ireland work. They're in Stormont to destroy Northern Ireland. That's their ambition.
They would deny that, and they would say that it is their people and their electorate and their families and themselves living in Northern Ireland. So, of course, they want it to prosper.
Look, Sinn Féin is not in Stormont to govern a place to its benefit if they don't even want that place to exist. Get a grip on reality. They don't want Northern Ireland to exist. They even deny that it's British.
So what would you say back...
It's constitutionally part of the United
Kingdom.
What
would you say back to the leader of Sinn Féin, given her comment this morning that Northern Ireland is not British? What would you say to her?
Well, I think my first comment would be to Arlene Foster that really she should waken up and recognise the folly of wasting time and energy in trying to patch together again a system of government which is incapable of working because her partner doesn't even acknowledge that Northern Ireland exists. So I think my primary message would be to Arlene Foster, it's time to waken up and to smell that Sinn Féin coffee, which is so adverse to the very existence of Northern Ireland. As for Sinn Féin, well, she said in Manchester what the IRA said through their bombs in that city, that Northern Ireland is not British. And I think that says it all. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, will leave the EU as part of the United Kingdom, will continue as part of the United Kingdom as long as that is the will of its people. And the failure of Sinn Féin to accept that, the failure of Sinn Féin to acknowledge that, lies at the reason of why they are so unfit for government.
Mark Devenport, help me with the timeline of this, because I'm looking at Arlene Foster's Twitter feed here. When she said making solid progress in talks with Sinn Féin, that was posted 59 minutes ago, so a 9:15. Was that before Michelle O'Neill said Northern Ireland is not British?
I think it was after that. Now, I'm just trying. I think she left Champ event going about 8:30. I think she was leaving around that time to go and meet the Prime Minister. So I'm finding it a little bit hard to be precise as to whether the question and answer session have finished by about 9:15.
Well, here's my question. Would it be, and well, is it significant if after the leader of Sinn Féin, you know, Jim Allister is saying that this dispute's now the principle of consent, Sinn Féin saying, you know, through their leader, Northern Ireland is not British. Is it significant that Arlene Foster, if she did, posted that message after that, saying making solid progress in talks?
Well, it may have been that she was preparing to do that anyway, because that did reflect a little bit of what she said in her prepared speech there. So it may be that they'd already decided, you know, to hit the button on that one prior to mulling over the significance of the question and answer session.
Yeah.
So it all happened in quite quick.
Okay. Session. Does this make it more difficult?
Foster, I would have to say Arlene Foster did pick up in the question and answer session immediately on what Michelle O'Neill had said and came back with a retort there and then.
And but, is this, Mark, is this just finally, is this just words? Or would this make an agreement between the DUP and Sinn Féin more difficult?
Well, I think something like this obviously can be managed if they have got a deal that they're prepared now to start selling to their grassroots. They will just say, well, look, this is words. But if they haven't yet signed off to a structure in relation to those acts, I think it makes it more difficult to come up with one.
Okay. Mark Devenport, thank you.